Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I am Mark Lawrence, host of the show. Mr. Joe McGranahan is across from me. Papa, as he's known at the dinner table, he's the head of FEMA and has been globally known to be participating in emergency communications and preparedness. But Papa's that name that he really likes the most. And Rob Sender's our fabulous producer on the other side of the
Mark
glass.
Lawrence, noted brain surgeon who doesn't turn on my microphone because he's passive aggressive again.
A brain surgeon.
We are just saying things that aren't true about me. I'm going to say things
about might as well exaggerate a little bit. Okay.
Well, Joe's great humanitarian, philanthropist, and polka dancer.
Joe's a super listener and a wonderful person and a fabulous business person.
Yeah, keep on going. Now you're getting closer to the truth.
Okay, we're on the right track.
On the right track.
It's one of the next fact will be real. We
right.
know it.
Sooner or later, you're going to even a blind pig catches an acorn once in a while, as a friend of mine used to say.
Well, we got an email a couple of years ago from the Society of Blind Pigs saying they don't like their references.
Well, of course not. I'm sure they're offended.
They're
and
snowflakes.
I apologize to them everywhere.
They're snowflake pigs.
Yeah. Let me check with my Mika Brzezinski apology schedule here, and I'll see if I can phrase it properly.
She ain't apologizing. All right, On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You're welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com. You can also text us at 70236. The text connects you whenever there's emergency information to pass along, breaking news stories, major weather, catastrophic potential weather that could be on the way, major road closures around here are the kind of things we send out via text connect. So you can sign up at WKOK.com.
Forgot dead celebrities again.
Oh, yeah, dead celebrities. Absolutely. Yeah, that's part of the deal. So yeah, we would have an opportunity for you to get more information about text connect at WKOK.com. So please sign up. We get nothing from it other than a good feeling and helping to keep you informed. We don't sell the list of your cell phone number. We do not, I repeat, do not send you any advertising. It's a wonderful opportunity to stay in touch.
Okay. I've done offering you money for it. I offered you pie.
Oh, that was a good
offer.
I
came closer.
Yeah, you were on the right track.
But I don't have any pies with me today. I have money, but no pies, so I won't make you an offer today.
Well, I'm on a diet. I'm trying to drop a few pounds, so no pie, sir.
Okay.
I'll take the money.
Oh, all right. $1,000.
All right. 1-800-795-9565 is our open telephone number. We have some emails to kind of get things going.
That's an interesting one. I didn't think about this until I read this email from a gentleman this morning. He says, good morning. I was the first to say our new prison would have security issues. Yesterday, an inmate from Northumberland County Prison was released into the public from the prison. One guard left their vehicle unlocked with the keys inside, 10 question marks. Why did this happen? Why didn't security see it? Inmate found the vehicle and drove away. Hours passed and no one caught it. Thank God the inmate only wanted to go home. Pray we get it right. Well, in all fairness, I doubt that they're more interested in keeping people in the prison, and I suspect that's where the cameras are pointed. Once they get out, I guess they don't expect most of them are going to commit a crime on the parking lot of the prison.
Well, is it legal to leave your keys in your car if the vehicle's not running?
I don't know. I don't know there was a law against that.
Well, there's a law against
stupidity. Is there a law against stupidity?
Well, there's a law against leaving your keys in your car with the engine running in a public area.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can do it on your driveway. You know, you could leave
it. Wait a minute. I have a feature in my car. I press a button, and the car starts automatically when I'm at some distance away.
Well, no, it's still locked,
though. Telling me
that's
illegal?
Right, but to leave a vehicle unlocked in a public space with the engine running is illegal.
So locked with the engine running, you're okay. Unlocked, you're not.
Well, you don't actually have the keys in the car. So as soon as that individual that steals your car...
Well, he couldn't, because he has to actually have my keys in
right.
his possession and press the start button.
So it's really unlocked. You have to press the start button when you get in.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So that
That's
the car knows that you're now in there and you have the key. Otherwise, they wouldn't know whether the person sitting behind the wheel actually had the key.
What if you start your car and forget and launch into another quick errand at your house or something? Or
it beeps at you. It makes a rather loud noise.
After a while?
When you get out, if you get out, leave the car running.
Oh, okay.
And close the door. It will make a noise.
Okay. Now, what I'm saying, though, is if you're in the house, okay, it's morning, you start the car remotely, but then you get sidetracked doing something in the house and you never go out. And your car is running. Does it ever stop on its
own? I doubt
it.
I don't know. I haven't done that.
Okay.
I'm not that quite far gone into my senility yet to have that kind of a problem.
Well, I didn't mean that. I just meant, you know, people might want to start it and then get sidetracked or something. Or make another cup of coffee or something.
Well, it's probably possible, but, you know, the car doesn't know you're sidetracked. It knows you told it to start.
And so it does that. Okay.
Right. I mean, a lot of people idle their vehicles for extended periods of time. Take a police car, for example. When they're on duty, it's seldom ever shut off.
Right, they leave them on.
Right. So, I mean, the cars must be built.
You think that's a good idea to leave all these cop cars running?
Well, you know, a lot of them require the radio in the car to be like a transponder so that they can transmit back to wherever it was, you know, the county from their handheld. Sometimes they use it that way.
Okay, so it's a relay.
And sometimes it's a repeater. Yeah, sometimes.
Repeater, that's it.
Right. So it's hard to say. I mean, I think there's probably a very good reason for them to keep the car running. They need to get in and write reports, and they need...
if the laptop computer reboots every time you turn it on and off,
take some time.
That would not be satisfactory.
Right.
The thing would be rebooting all the time.
However, I have no computer in my car, so that wouldn't be an issue for me. And I suspect it wouldn't be for you.
You have computers
in your
car.
Actually, I do have a computer in my car, right, and it keeps sending messages back to the company.
Oh, okay.
I
They're
get a
monitoring
report every
you.
Month telling me how my car is doing.
Okay. Well, I'm going to hack into your car and tell it to turn left somewhere. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our open phone. One of our good listeners sends a valid question. What about security at the new inmate lockup if somebody can go in and steal a guard's car out of the parking lot? I mean, do we not have any monitoring of this sort of thing? Well, you release somebody, you just assume he's going to be honest and straightforward the rest of his life. You don't
well,
even
no,
keep an eye on him.
No, but I think he's likely to get off the parking lot of the jail before he commits his next crime.
Well, not so much. All right, so, yeah, that's a super valid question. So I think that uncovers not a significant hole in security. It's not like somebody got out, but you certainly would want people to monitor. If you release somebody just outside the door, you know they have a criminal history. Wouldn't you keep an eye on them?
Right. Well, I think what's more concerning to me is the fact that a guard was that... I don't want to say
absent-minded,
let's say. I mean, what if he leaves the door open inside the prison and somebody just walks out?
Oh, so you're supposed to take the keys. Oh, I do that all the time. I go in my side door, leave the keys there. My lovely bride comes along and says, your keys are in the door. Do you want these? All right.
Let's see what Ron has to say. Ron,
thanks for calling in. We're talking about remote start vehicles.
Yes. You were wondering about somebody starting their car and then doing something in their house.
Well, if you forget it, I would forget about it is what would happen to me.
Well, the car would be a little more intelligent than you because it would automatically shut off after 10, 15 minutes. And you'd have to restart again.
I have never tried it that long to see if it actually does that.
It will.
Wow. Well, that's interesting.
Maybe I should read the owner's manual someday.
That would help.
It might.
That's interesting.
I've owned cars all my life.
Okay. So, and of course, some cars, of course, that would allow eventually after the car warmed up, the heater would work. And some cars have seat warmers. Our one WKOK vehicle has a steering wheel warmer.
Yeah, I got that and the seat warmer.
So all those things could be turned on.
Well, let me ask you this question. If you deliberately get out of the car and let it on and idling, it won't shut off then, will it?
You You mean on remote start?
No, no. If I just get in the car, start it, and then step outside for a minute, and I stand there talking to somebody for 20 minutes or so, the car won't shut down, will it?
No.
Okay.
I wonder, though, if you took the key fob away from it, you know. Because I know sometimes I will drive my lovely bride's vehicle away from the key fob, you know, and it'll start to blink that you're no longer near your key, but it doesn't shut off or anything. Now, I wouldn't be able to restart it if I turned it off, but it keeps on running.
Yeah.
Well, listen to this. One time I had one of those cars like that. I was driving, actually my wife was driving it, and we were down at our daughter's place in Seals Grove, and we were going back to Middleburg. I took off. Had the key in my pocket, and she's driving the car that it belonged to. And she kept getting a message, no key detected, no key detected.
Right.
And she didn't shut it off, so she was okay. She made it the whole way to Middleburg.
But if she had shut it off, she wouldn't have got it started again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Interesting.
Wow.
Modern technology. All right.
What about other functions of the vehicle? Did everything else work while she was driving along?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It worked.
Yeah, you couldn't turn left, Joe.
Now, my wife hates those keyless things. She wants a key. She is
really?
An old-fashioned girl when it comes to that. She likes knowing that the key's in the car.
Oh, yeah. Some people just don't want to change.
No, and she doesn't like the fact that I press a button to start mine. She wants to turn that key.
She wants to go out there and sit in a garage or what have you. All right. Thank you so much, Ron.
She
appreciate
likes
that
1930s technology.
Yeah, I have. I drive a couple of keyless cars, and I'll tell you what, am I finally getting my truck? The old bird, you have to turn the key, pump the gas a couple of times. It's a little pesky sometimes. But you have to be there. It's called being there, Joe.
Thank you for sharing that with me.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. We received an email recently about pay raises in Harrisburg. You want to read that?
Sure. It says, a raise this holiday season will give Pennsylvania state lawmakers, judges, and top executive branch officials an extra reason to celebrate. Their salary increase for 2019 will be 1.6%, a figure tied by law to the year-over-year regional change in consumer inflation. The bump takes effect December 1st, already in effect for lawmakers, and January 1st for judicial and executive branch officials. Let's see, the highest paid is State Supreme Court Chief Justice Tom Saylor. He will knock down an additional $3,400 a year to $217,000. Governor Tom Wolf's salary will rise about $3,100 to $198,000, although he donates it to charity. Most lawmakers, already the nation's second highest paid, will see an increase of $1,430 to about $88,600 in base pay. They also receive per diems, while lawmakers in leadership posts will top out at $138,300.
Yeah, Senator Gordner is probably up above $100,000 now that he's the...
Well, he's a leadership post,
right.
So probably $138,300 would be in his neck of the woods.
Ridiculous. Too high.
Really? You think
way,
so?
Way, 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 way too high.
I'm surprised the Chief Justice is getting more money than the governor. The Chief Justice, I don't think, works as hard as the governor, do you?
No, he takes...
He's got seven or eight other people to split the load with him.
Right.
The governor has to do it all.
Clerks, and the governor is 24/7.
Well, I'm sure the governor has staff, but still.
No, but the governor's 24/7.
And the governor makes decisions on his own. The chief justice has to have other judges support him.
I wonder why their salaries are so high.
I don't know.
Well, I know the DAs all get 100.
I'll tell you what our friend Dale would tell you, because they're attorneys.
Oh, right. They're politicians.
They're politicians and attorneys.
Well, and I know the DAs all get $160,000, which is ridiculously high.
No, I think they earn it. The DAs do a lot of work in the local area.
160? Come on, Joe. That's double what it should be.
Really?
Yes, absolutely.
Then you probably think the Northumberland County Commissioners are paid fairly at $39,000.
No, I'm concerned that we won't get good people in those positions if the salary's so low.
But then you don't want it to be too high. What are you, like baby bear C? You ought to be just right. My porridge is too cold. My porridge is too hot.
Salaries in the 50 to 60 range are probably about right. That's what you can earn
really?
In the private market.
No, an attorney can make far more than that in the private market, and these people are largely attorneys, justices.
Well, you're a shill for the government market, but I just think their salaries
you got
are
me
too
down
high.
A shilling for a large number of groups. I'm not making much money out of this shilling I'm doing.
You shill for the establishment. How about that?
Well, sometimes the establishment's good, don't you agree?
Nah.
I mean, just because you're a nihilist and you want to overturn society doesn't mean the rest of us have to do that.
A nihilist. That's funny. I love the Nile.
Do you?
It's a wonderful river. All right.
Look it up.
1-800. I know what it means. Just nobody uses it in conversation except you. 1-800-795-9565. Call us immediately. Put us out of our misery. Make us stop talking
to
each other.
Put you out of your misery.
All right. Make Joe stop talking about how government officials are worth $200,000 each. It's ridiculous. 1-800-795-9565. We will be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. We thank you so much for listening. Now it's your opportunity to call. Call the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565.
Let's talk about impairment for a moment.
Impairment?
Yes. People in Utah may have to think twice about having that extra drink before driving home from their New Year's Eve parties. Starting December 30th, the state will lower its blood alcohol content limit to 0.05, the strictest DUI standard in the nation.
What is it now everywhere?
Well, it's 0.08, isn't it?
Okay, that sounds right. Yeah, .08. I've heard that first.
The new law also states that anyone who, quote, operates a motor vehicle in a negligent manner causing the death of another and has a blood alcohol concentration of 0.5 grams or greater will have committed a criminal homicide, a felony. Okay. The state says it's seen an average of 29 DUI arrests every day for the last 5 years, a total of more than 54,400 arrests. Despite decades of public campaigns and other efforts to discourage driving after drinking, survey and observational data show that many people continue to do so. That's from the Utah Department of Public Safety. All other states continue to hold at a 0.08 limit for non-commercial drivers over the age of 21, a level the National Transportation Safety Board says has been pushing to lower for years. They say we've recommended a 0.05 BAC to states since 2013. We are happy that Utah is the first to actually complete this recommendation. We think it will be a great incentive for other states and an encouragement to follow suit. Well, let me ask you this question. If DUIs at 0.08 in Utah have averaged 4,000 or 54,000 over the last 5 years, or 29 a day. What makes them think that those 29 a day are going to stop because
they're going to double.
0.3 lower. All that means is that more people they stop are going to fall into the net.
Right. You and I can drive at 0.5, but when you're 0.8, you feel the fact that you're impaired. And of course, when you're 0.10, the old threshold, you're
really
impaired.
Doesn't it go by
the
person? I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah, people have a tolerance.
I have no tolerance for it. I don't consume alcohol and get behind the wheel. I don't do that because I don't have much of a tolerance for it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if I drank every day, I would.
I would recommend it.
But I know other people. I mean, a friend of mine could sit and have four beers, and
he's fine.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, same. Well, but I do believe your reaction time slows whether or not you've built up this tolerance or now.
Well, didn't
or not.
You take part in a drunk driving thing a few years ago
They
actually got you stoned?
Right, yeah, the Point Township and Northumberland Police teamed up and had an item where they brought in some lay people and a reporter, myself, and they would give you a measured amount of alcohol that they knew what the alcohol content was, and then they would measure you, let you drink that.
Based on your height and weight and all that.
Right, and then they would give you a certain amount, and then they'd test your breath and see what your alcohol was and test your reaction time, and you would do a series of tests. Now, the whole purpose of the function was to teach officers how to do the horizontal gaze nystagmus test, which is when you follow a moving object
That's
in front
the
of your face.
Test.
Right.
Okay.
So you would do that, and I failed the test at like 0.07 or 0.06 way early on because I don't drink that much. So, you know, if I get to a situation where I have two or three drinks, I feel it immediately.
Oh, yeah, I would too.
So, and like if April and I go out to our dinner, I will have a glass of wine at the beginning of the meal, but then that's it, you know, or a beer or something, but then just that's all.
Well, that's the way I am. I mean, if I go out or at a Christmas party, I will have one drink at the start and then I'll switch to soft drinks, and that be it.
I love diet soda.
So do I.
To me, it's no burden.
Not doing me a lot
but
of
anyway,
good, but I love it.
But anyway, we were taking this test, and by the time I got to 0.10, I mean, I was clearly impaired, and I would have been unable to drive. You know, I was feeling no pain, as they say.
Were you happy?
But there were other people who drank more often that were, they were visibly able to behave normally because they had a higher tolerance, but their reactions and their impairment had begun. So they, like their reaction time and their ability to cognitively decide how to do certain emergency maneuvers was already impaired, even though they were acting normally.
Here's my question then. So if you at 0.1, when you got to 0.1, you actually were not capable of functioning at the level at which you covered before.
Oh, no, not 0.1, 0.10, the old level.
So when they stopped you, it would be pretty obvious, based on the sobriety test, field sobriety test.
I would just turn
that
myself
you were
in.
Loaded, right?
Yes.
Okay, but the other people that you saw who could consume that same amount and weren't affected, they could take that same test you did, and they might be over the limit, but they aren't going to turn up as a drug driver.
No, they would fail the test.
They fail the test?
Because the horizontal gaze nystagmus test, your eyes react whether you behave drunk or not. They're still reacting that way.
So that's enough to arrest you?
Right. That's why.
What if you have an astigmatism and your eyes bounce around a lot?
That's why. I guess that might screw things up. But your eyes don't bounce around. It's just they lag what's moving. And that comes with early on impairment.
Okay. But what about the breathalyzer? What's that going to register? Is that going to take your body weight into consideration? That's not, you know.
Well, yeah, of course it does.
I watch so many TV shows.
Yeah, because it's a percentage of your bloodstream.
These cop TV shows, they stop somebody and the officer will say, have you had anything to drink tonight? And invariably say, two beers.
Two beers.
Two beers.
It's always an exceedingly small number.
Right. So, I mean, but I would worry about consistency, that some people have a greater tolerance for alcohol. And unless this testing is exactly the same every time somebody is stopped, I think you're setting up a situation where it could be unfair to some people.
No, I don't think so. I think what they're doing is the impairment happens with the first drink. Whether or not you're going to physically show it, whether socially you're able to behave normally or not, that you can do. You know, you can your fellow that you know that drinks regularly and he can have two or three beers and be perfectly normal. Well, you and I can't do that. But his reactions are slow, just as yours were from the first drink. His eye reaction, this inability to follow smoothly something moving, that has been impaired since the first drink, as it was with me.
See, I don't think, watching him, I don't think he's impaired at all.
You wouldn't think so, but the eyes tell the story. And the brain
so
reaction
give him
time
the
tells.
The next time I'm out with this gentleman and having a drink, I should give him this test?
Yes, absolutely. I would recommend it. I think it would be fun. It'd be a good drinking game.
Your eyes follow my pen, the tip
see
of
how
my
long
pen?
Yep, that's what it is. That's what they would hold. They'd hold the pen out and tell you to stare at it, move it smoothly, and your eyes jerk if you're impaired. They can't follow it smoothly. They lag a little bit, and then they catch up.
My eye doctor does that every time I go for an eye exam.
He probably thinks you make sure you're not drinking before you go.
Well,
they
ask you to follow the light.
Just to see if, you know, get a baseline going for you. But I could feel impaired right away. And they say your reaction time is slowed from the get-go, whether you show it or not.
What is the difference between the 0.08 that is the national standard and 0.05? Is that difference worth it? What number of accidents are created or problems are created at that 0.08 rate that aren't going to be there at 0.05?
Well, I don't know the answer to that. I bet they do in Utah, or they have estimated what the difference would be. But the fact is, should you drive with any impairment? I was driving on the Veterans Bridge yesterday, and this young lady in front of me just drifted across the line, like just inches in front of my truck, drifted across the line and then drifted back. And then later, when she started to slow down for the end of the bridge, she's on her phone. I mean, she's texting away. She's got, one.
Really?
Her wrist is on the wheel, and both of her thumbs are on the phone, and she's texting away or typing something in the phone.
Well, you should have gotten her license number and called the cops.
I just crashed into the back of her and
that's good.
T-boned her off the road.
That's the problem.
She flipped over a couple times, so I took care of that promptly.
Well, I mean, that's a conscious decision. You don't have to.
Yeah, that's not the same as drinking.
But, I mean, if you go out for an evening and you go to a restaurant and have a drink, one drink with your dinner, or maybe one and then something after dinner, or what is that likely to produce in the way of an alcohol amount in your body?
An amount? Well, it would produce an amount, probably 1 or 2, maybe 3%. I think 4% or 0.04% is what you can get from one strong drink, or like a full 12-ounce beer.
One beer and you could be over the limit in a 0.05?
I think that would have. I think one drink still keeps most people below. But again, it's your body weight. I drink 12 ounces. It's different than, somebody who's 6'5" and 200 some pounds drinking.
Well, you weigh more than I do.
This is WKOK Sunbury. Thank you.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. I am Mark Lawrence, subpar host of the show, program director here at WKOK. Superlative in some ways, I'm sure. I just don't know what it would be.
Well, let me think about that while
you work on that a little bit. let's see. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You're welcome throughout our program to email us at onthemark@wkok.com. You can also text us at 70236. We'd love to hear from you. However, you would like to send us a note. In the news today, a Canton, Pennsylvania man is in fair condition after an end-over-end rollover crash on I-180 early Monday evening. Milton State Police say the crash happened about 4:30 p.m. along I-180 East at mile marker 9. Milton troopers say 23-year-old Caleb Willow of Canton driving a pickup truck when he went off the road in a curve, hit guardrails, the truck flipped end-over-end, and he was thrown from the truck. He landed in Geisinger, and he's in fair condition. Officials from Perea Biosciences say growing medical marijuana in Northumberland County will be a huge benefit to some individuals who do not yet even use medical marijuana.
We do want to help develop new drugs for patients, trying to fill in the gaps with what we're not seeing right now. So we've got a plan, and it's just very, very exciting.
Krista Krebs is the CEO of Perea Biosciences. She was on WKOK's On the Mark program recently with an update on the medical marijuana growing operation. You can check more out about that out at WKOK's podcast page. Governor Tom Wolf says it's the right thing for every Pennsylvania county to buy new voting machines in time for the 2020 elections, although he acknowledges it's a costly proposition. The governor told the Associated Press that one big challenge his administration faces is helping counties afford an estimated $125 million tab. Wolf, a Democrat, said Friday the federal government should contribute more than $14 million. Wolf's committed to asking lawmakers for state aid to cover at least half. Pennsylvania is one of 13 states where most or all of the voter used machines that store votes electronically without printed ballots or other paper-based backups, the so-called paper trail. The push for new machines comes after federal authorities say Russian hackers targeted at least 21 states during the 2016 presidential election. And a federal court says New York's ban on nunchucks, the martial arts weapon made famous by Bruce Lee, but prohibited in the state of New York for decades. Federal court says that ban is unconstitutional under the Second Amendment. Judge Pamela Chen issued her ruling Friday in federal court in Brooklyn. The plaintiff's James Maloney started his legal quest after being charged with the illegal possession of nunchucks in his home in 2000. Maloney wants to teach a form of martial art using nunchucks, and he created this form of martial arts with his sons. The state has completely banned private citizens from owning nunchucks, two rigid rods connected at one end by a chain or rope. They've been banned since 1974. The suit names Nassau County DA as a defendant. The county's lawyer had no immediate comments.
Why would you ban them if you allow guns and knives, but you ban nunchucks?
Well, you can't carry guns in a lot of places. In New York, New York, you're not allowed to carry at all whatsoever. No carry.
And you can't carry a nunchuck either.
No.
No. All right. What about a knife? Swiss Army knife.
I think you can carry a pocket knife.
Sounds like New York is a great place to live.
It's probably a blade.
Probably
limit.
No crime there at all. Nothing bad ever happens there, right?
Yeah. It's New York's
good, tough laws.
New York's pretty crime free.
Yeah. All right. Well, Lance, I'm sure you have something to say on Utah's drunk driving action.
Why, yeah. Here's the deal. If you take a look at how many folks are killed by drunk drivers, not the drunk drivers themselves, and you look at about, there's 10,000 people die on the highway every year as a result of drunk driving. Now, one-third of those are not the people doing the driving, okay?
Well, they're passengers in a vehicle hit by a drunk?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or are the people that are in the car when that happens? Now, in Pennsylvania alone, last year, about 23 traffic deaths in Pennsylvania due to alcohol. One-third of those were not the people doing the driving. Now, last year, there were 107, I've been saying 106, but it's 107 individuals killed in mass shootings, right? So folks killed by drunks on the highway in Pennsylvania alone equal the total number of folks wiped out in mass shootings. Okay?
Okay, and but those people aren't at 0.08, I wouldn't think. I think they're considerably more than that. I mean, they've been somewhere and thrown down a lot of alcohol where they can't even function properly to keep their car in the right lane.
Okay, all right. Now, I understand this, but you think it might be a deterrent is what I'm looking at.
Isn't 0.08 a deterrent? It used to be 1.0.
Oh, I understand that, but
So 0.08 didn't work as a deterrent. Why is 0.05 going to work?
Well, because now a lot of folks who think, well, if I just have two beers, I'll be okay. Well, now they know that they're not going to be okay, and they might not drink at all. That's what I'm looking at.
Okay, so what does that do to the hospitality industry? I mean, let's face it, going out to dinner and having a drink is not a crime.
I think he laughed at you.
I'm sure he did.
Well, no.
But
no,
stop and think about it for a minute.
Neither is buying a gun. This is what we're getting at. The people who abuse the 21st Amendment are as dangerous, or actually more dangerous, way more dangerous, than the folks who abuse the Second. We have almost 100,000 people dying as a result of alcohol every year in our country.
Yeah, I'm not arguing any of that. I'm just saying that at 0.05, I'm just trying to determine, and I'm obviously not advocating for driving while you're buzzed or inebriated in any way, shape, or form. But what is going to happen and the difference between 0.08 and 0.05? It's one thing to say we should lower it, but why? What problem does it solve?
Well, exactly what I said there. It might
that doesn't sound like a solution to me.
Well, all right, though. If we can deter one out of 30 people who drink and drive...
Then why not go back to prohibition, Lance? That's
no,
the
no,
ultimate
no,
deterrent,
no, no.
making
I'm
consumption of any
prevention.
Alcohol a crime.
I'm not want to ban anything, okay? I'm not that way. But if we can keep just one out of 30 people from doing that, will save as many other people's lives, not the people that are doing the drinking, as if there were no mass shootings whatsoever.
Hmm.
Well, think about that. We're ready to lift heaven and earth to save 100 people who die in mass shootings, and we should be. We should be. I'm not trying to, you know, shove it under the carpet. It's just that I'm saying, man, we got this big problem over here, and we are concentrating on the smaller one there.
I don't see that 0.3% of being any more of a deterrent than cutting it in half, which cutting it from 1 to 0.08 was.
We don't know Joe's answer, Lance. That's the bottom line. Fact is, you know, I think if you had more restrictive alcohol laws, you could save a lot of lives. That much is clear.
Well,
that's Utah's goal.
Your experiment, the experiment that was done on you, I'd mm-hmm. like to see someone, you and Lance can volunteer. Lance goes to 0.08, you go to 0.05, and we run you through a battery of tests.
See who can do what. Well, I'll be higher
function.
See
who can do what, and
yeah,
they find that at 0.05 you are significantly better at every test given than Lance at 0.08, then I would agree with the change.
Yeah, they probably have in Utah. I'm sure they didn't just say, oh, well, let's just do this without any thought or consideration.
Well, no, they did it because the National, who was it? Somebody recommended it.
Right.
I forget who it says. The National Transportation Safety.
Oh, Board. That's what they're pushing for nationwide.
0.05. And only one state has done it.
Big Brother's keeping a good eye on you. All right, Lance, we'll give you the last word.
Well, it's all I'm saying here is our governor is really going off the iron now on the gun laws. And with the reason being the mass shooting in Pittsburgh.
Right, Pittsburgh's considering banning assault weapons.
Yeah, well,
would that be just in the city of Pittsburgh?
Yes. They're talking about doing quite a few things. Bump stocks. They've got a whole plethora of things they're going to ban.
All of their restrictions seem perfectly normal and, you know, should probably be considered statewide. But one of them is banning assault weapons altogether. Well, that seems ridiculous in the city of Pittsburgh.
Well, yeah, it does when you consider that bricks are used more to kill people than they are. And they dart. I mean, you just look that up.
You know, Lance, I don't remember the last time I read a story where somebody threw a brick at somebody and killed him.
I
do remember reading stories about people shooting guns.
Oh, my gosh.
That's right, because they don't put them on the news.
There's all kinds of
calls. So murder by brick is not a story?
There are calls for building construction material control. Don't you worry about that.
Let's stop these bricks.
Well, in Sealance Grove, there was a fellow who did it and his wife with a hammer, did he not? And if you get on the internet and you start to look at weapons that are used in murder,
and homicides,
I'd be absolutely amazed.
Okay, but we can't ban all of them.
The Sealance Grove case is a sad story that isn't just somebody taking a hammer. I mean, there's a lot more to it than that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right, we got you, Lance. Thank you so much for calling in.
Right.
Appreciate that. 1-800-795-9565 on the topic of exceedingly overpaying our lawmakers and judges in Pennsylvania, which we do.
Yeah, Dick says, several years ago while in Michigan for a Penn State wrestling match, I read an article in their paper. The highest paid state employee at that time was the athletic director at the University of Michigan.
Oh, yeah, the football
They've
coach.
Got their priorities straight, right? Don't underpay the legislature, but overpay the athletic director at the university.
Well, I'm sure there's some other factors associated with that. But, you know, at Penn State, they pay, you know, like James Franklin, millions of dollars.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. So it's no wonder tuition is so high.
And they didn't even get the Big Ten championship.
Right. A lot of people are saying, oh, that's not money well spent this year. Well, yeah, it's what have you done for me lately? It's like the Bucknell coach, he doesn't have a winning record, but he's beloved because he's such a great leader and inspires the players to be great leaders and to play fair and to really enjoy the sport. So nobody,
in other words, he's instilling good values.
Right. So nobody calls for his resignation. But at Penn State, as soon as you start losing, oh, that's it for James Franklin. Goodbye. We've had enough of him. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Another email on the topic of remote starts for cars.
Right. Mark says most make shut off in 10 minutes.
Okay, go. Well, there's my question answered definitively. I appreciate that. 1-800-795-9565 is our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line. We invite you to call it immediately. Call us now, 1-800-795-9565. We had an item in the news here about Utah's interest in going to a 0.05% blood alcohol content.
They're doing it. They aren't interested.
Oh, it happened.
They're doing it.
So that happened. And the National Transportation Safety Board wants other states to adopt the same standard. So that would be...
It raises some interesting questions about the responsibility of people who serve alcohol at establishments and in homes.
Oh, yeah. We know at homes, you're liable for your guests. If they leave drunk, the homeowner is liable. And sometimes your homeowner's insurance will help, but other times not. You know, so you have to make sure you're clear on that. And best thing is don't just let your friends drive drunk. All right. 1-800. Oh, I should write that down.
Yeah, that could be a national slogan.
A special holiday greeting from your local hometown pharmacies.
It's the holiday season in Central PA. Everyone's busy all night and all day, planning for visitors to their hometowns, prepping for parties with New Year's countdowns.
If anyone starts to feel under the weather, we have lots of things to help them feel better. With pharmacists and staff so friendly and quick, a hometown pharmacy can just do the trick.
And boroughs and towns, we're so very close by, near the river and woods. It's not a long drive. There's Bloomsbury, Lewisburg, Northumberland 2, Mifflinburg, Danville, and Mount Pleasant Mills. Ooh.
We love what we do, and we truly do care. When it comes to your health, we're always right there. You can give us a call. Better yet, stop on by. We'll have a nice talk. You can give us a try.
There's nothing quite like a hometown pharmacy where everything's the way it all used to be. Wishing everyone out there good health and good cheer for the holiday season and throughout the year.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year from everyone at your hometown pharmacy.
On the Mark, brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, a family-owned dealership since 1915. They sell Ford cars and trucks, great big Fords, little Fords, Hyundais, which are even smaller, but they got a nice minivan. Kia, oh boy, you're getting in a Sorento. Now you're driving in luxury. And all-wheel drive available throughout the Kia line. And Lincoln cars and trucks, the great big Navigator trucks, so you ride in luxury in those things. Or you can get the MKZ. That's what I would like to drive, just a gorgeous sedan. And they are nicely appointed. Bottom line, though, is that the Sunbury Motor Company, you're going to get the best deal for a Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or Lincoln. It'll give you top dollar for your trade-in, and they'll make sure that the new car that you drive off in is precisely what you want. Now, they have hundreds of cars on the lot, but they'll also order one online and make sure that it's ready for you when you come over if there's maybe some aspect of your new truck. Like, I have to have an 8-foot bed plus double seats, so that truck's as long as a train.
Is your posterior getting that large?
That's part. But I have friends. You got to haul them around. You got to haul them to the top of the mountain for deer drives. So we got to have the 8-foot bed to fill it full of deer, and you got to have the double seats so that you can seat to six.
How's that going
men
for you, by the way? Filling up the back of that with deer.
Well, I've hauled other people's deer around. After their tug, anybody can haul them around. So, yeah, I have the truck that we use to do the maneuvering. But anyway.
Tugged? You mean tagged?
Tug, yes, right.
Tug isn't the pre... The, no.
It is when you're hunting.
Is it? Okay.
Has that deer been tugged yet? You never heard that phrase?
No.
Oh, you got to hunt.
Tagged,
now.
I would say. Has that
no.
deer been tagged?
Tug. All right. They're a premier service provider for all makes of cars and trucks. Doesn't matter what make of vehicle you have or what size of vehicle, they can fix it at the quick lane, or they'll tow it over to the truck bays there. They can fix trucks of all sizes. Sunbury Motor Company really is a go-to. Got a body shop, car wash, quick lane alignment. They'll pump you up in nitrogen. Towing service, you name it, they do it all at the Sunbury Motor Company. Check out all of these many services at sunburymotors.com.
Wasn't there, going back just briefly because we have a call, going back to the Utah story, a few years ago when they did something else with the alcohol limit, wasn't there a big push to put breathalyzers in establishments that sold alcohol so that you could check your blood, your level of inebriation, if you will, on the way out the door?
I think so, but I think they probably push back pretty hard against that. The businesses would not want that. They don't want anything that would restrict your drinking. They want you to drink.
Yes, but on the other hand, they don't want to be liable if you go out and you have
absolutely.
A problem.
Well, particularly if on the way out, for fun, you do the breathalyzer. It says 0.11, and they say, okay, we'll see you next time, Bob. Thanks for coming in.
Well, really, what they should do is take everybody's keys when they come in and then make them press the breathalyzer before they go out.
Right. That's called guilty till proven innocent.
Yeah, well, that's
I'm not sure that's how the country works.
Well, I think we're getting there.
Oh, are we? Okay, thank you. Cindy, first and foremost, thanks for the cookies.
Yes, we've been enjoying them here.
Oh, I hope you do. I'm glad you're enjoying them.
Really appreciate it.
Well, gentlemen, I have a very controversial issue that I would like to raise today. So I've been sitting here enjoying the show and writing out my Christmas cards. And it dawns on me that we've only gotten two this year. Two Christmas cards. It used to be avalanches of
yep.
Christmas cards. And you'd be sitting there with boxes. I used to turn them around every day. If I got your card yesterday, your response would be going out today. And as an environmentalist, of course, I'm glad to see less trees getting chopped down. But as a person who cares about jobs, I'm sad that the paper mills and the ink printers and the newspaper, I'm not newspaper, but the, you know, the...
greeting card companies.
Greeting card companies and the thinkers of sweet sentiments and, you know, and the Postal Service are all suffering because we've changed our behavior, which begs this question. Should we require everyone to send out Christmas cards? Because that would help all these industries.
I mean,
there are just so many examples of the government mandating that you do things largely because it benefits an industry.
Oh, Cindy, separation of church and state, that would never be acceptable.
That's true. Well, just call them holiday cards.
No, this has nothing to do with the church. Christmas is, for some people, a religious holiday. For many of us, it's a secular holiday. So I would argue it has nothing to do with the church. My Christmas cards have a truck with a wreath on the front of it wishing you a happy holiday season.
Cindy,
religious about that.
I think what we should do is just require anybody who has ever sent out Christmas cards to just keep doing so. The law wouldn't have to require individuals who never send them out, like me, to ever send them out. It would just require all individuals who have ever sent them out to just keep doing so we could keep the industry going.
But you're missing a lot of it is not that they stop sending out cards, they stop sending out printed cards. My wife and I belong to two online card services, and we send out a lot of digital cards to people.
Ah.
They have music in them, and they have nice sentiments,
funny.
And you click on something, and the lights flash.
I don't get one.
Well, you're not on my list.
One company that's hysterical. My sister does this, and she pastes each kid's picture, and there are like dancing things going on. So she snips out through, I guess, Photoshop, her husband, herself, and the three kids, and they paste them into these things, and then the elves are dancing and singing,
right.
You know,
yeah,
jingle bells.
It's called Elf Yourself, I think it was. Elf Yourself.
Elf Yourself.
Elf Yourself. Right. You make yourself look like
excuse
an elf.
Me. Excuse me, Joe.
Well,
you're not
you know, Joe, I want credit for the fact that I did not say that company's name, because I know you get mad at me if I
no,
say
I,
it.
No, I don't care.
Jib Jab.
Yeah, that's it. Jib Jab, yep. And they're funny. I haven't looked at one of their things. I used to get a lot of those. Didn't get one this year, though.
Yeah,
nowadays,
I didn't get any of those either.
He doesn't
even
open them.
Think about all the people that run that website. I mean, if we're going to say that the government should mandate behavior, right, because it supports jobs, then there's two good examples that we should force people to send out. You don't even have to celebrate Christmas. We should make you send out Christmas cards.
Well, I think, what do you think about my idea of dumbing the law down just enough so that it's the people who have always sent cards have to keep doing it, but new
well,
people don't
unfair.
Have to join it? Why?
I don't. No, that's not fair. I mean, under Obamacare, everyone has to buy insurance, and under card-saving, you know, Christmas.
Yeah, but that's Obama, that thing's been overturned. They can't force you to buy it anymore.
Thank goodness, because
Cindy,
that was just really an un-American and unconstitutional.
The individual Christmas card mandate.
Yes, that's what we should do.
It's got to be constitutional.
Think
it's
of
got
all
to
the
be.
People whose jobs would be saved if we did this, you know, and the good cheer that would be spread.
Okay, we got another call coming in. But Cindy, I want to tell you a funny story. I heard one lady went to Nori Pharmacy, and it was the very last day you could mail Christmas cards and still have them get there before Christmas. She grabbed a 50-pack, and she ran up to the counter, and then she walked walked over to the post office. She's just addressing them as fast as she can and putting a quick note in there, to say, happy Christmas, Bob, and all this stuff, and mailing them all off. And she mailed all but a few of them, and she got it home, and it says, "This is just a Christmas card today to hold you for now, because a much bigger gift is on the way." She hadn't looked at it, so everybody's expecting... Everybody's expecting some kind of big parcel.
Somebody you know? Were they all calling her up wanting their gift?
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
People say. She hid behind it by saying that, I really just meant the Christ child. That was the bigger gift that everybody got.
Well, blessed holidays, no matter how you choose to spend them, to all of my good friends and some of those people who apparently would like to throttle me when I'm on the radio.
Not us. Keep the cookies coming, kid.
Right. That number is getting smaller. All right. Thank you, Cindy.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate that. David, thank you for waiting through a little bit of frivolity. You are on the mark.
Howdy, gentlemen. Tonight, it was on last night, but it's on tonight and tomorrow night, too. Around 11 o'clock, it's an HBO documentary called Bleed Out. And is what's so troubling about it, it deals a lot with Wisconsin, but I'm sure some of it applies nationally. In Wisconsin, they've made laws that make it extremely difficult to hold hospitals, doctors, so forth, liable for any kind of malpractice. It's absolutely very troubling and unbelievable that they put in laws that would protect gross malpractice in spite of an abundance of evidence of wrongdoing. Also, it gets into where they use cameras instead of nursing personnel to monitor at-risk patients in hospitals. Bleed Out on HBO. Tonight and tomorrow night around 11 or so. It's on station 202.
That's on Service Electric Cable. I think that number's different on some other cable systems, but you're right, and some people have satellites, so...
HBO. I hope a lot of people are able to see it, and if there's anything that we need to change to hold people responsible, it would seem to be some of these laws. It's almost like in so many areas, lawsuits... for, somebody has been very negligent or whatever, these businesses, whatever, they force you into arbitration rather than, a lawsuit. But anyway, take care, gentlemen. Keep up the good work.
Well, right. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's a note for you tonight.
Okay, so this Bleed Out would relate to laws that unfairly carve out hospitals from malpractice suits?
And doctors, I gather, from what he said. I wasn't familiar with that documentary. I'll have to check that out.
Well, check it out. Yeah, it does sound interesting. All right, we'll take more comers. 1-800-795-9565. We talked about a couple topics today. The governor is interested in forcing counties to pay for new voting machines, whether they need them or not.
Another unfunded state mandate.
Well, and you'll remember Vinny Clausi complained. Now, he was the minority commissioner at the time, but he complained left and right that the fact Northumberland County bought new machines within the past 10 years that don't leave a paper trail. He wanted them to. Majority commissioners wanted machines that did not leave a paper trail. So and some machines do around here have the coveted paper trail and some don't. All right, 1-800-795-9565. We talked about cars with remote starts. We talked about mandating that everybody be forced to send Christmas cards to, I'll say, at least 30 people. I'll add that to the law. At least 30 people. Please read the cards in advance to make sure that it's not saying that a much bigger gift is on the way. Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, Joe McGranahan is here. He's the mayor of Shamokin Dam, for which he receives no remuneration.
Would you like to pay me?
I'll invite you to our Christmas party. How about that? That is a valuable...
As my wife says, they're paying me exactly what I'm worth.
Oh. You should pay them. All right. Mr. Rob Center is the most wonderfulest, fabulist man we've ever met, and he is our producer. There's less of him today than there was before, so he looks super, too.
Oh, he lost weight?
Oh, my gosh. You didn't notice?
Well, I haven't seen him. I can't see him from where I'm sitting.
Well, yeah, he's... He's a shadow of his...
Now I can see him. Yes, he has lost weight.
He's a shell of a man. But, yeah, he looks super duper, and his wife looks like $1 million, so the whole family's into fitness and health. So that's good news. We just had Matt, the chief clacketer, in the room. Matt Cotrillo was here a moment ago, so we're glad to see him hard at work, keeping track of things.
He looks hard at work.
And let's see. Mark Lawrence, subpar, if there ever was anybody.
Strikingly handsome. Did I get that in for July?
No, not for December. You do not have it yet in for December.
Strikingly handsome Mark Lawrence is with us today.
Say more.
Strikingly handsome Mark Lawrence. Strikingly handsome Mark Lawrence.
Not repeat it.
Speaking of that, did you hear the story about the pirate? A pirate left alone with an Alexa device, and it was doing shopping. It was ordering strawberries and food.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah, it was a very interesting story on the news yesterday about this pirate that was left alone at home. It was thrown out of a shelter because it had a foul mouth. And it was adopted by this family, and they started getting shipments of strawberries and things that the parrot had ordered.
Get out of here.
I'm not kidding you.
That is not true.
Yes.
All right, 1-800-799.
Is your story true about the lady in Northumberland?
To the best of my knowledge.
Well, to the best of my knowledge, that one's true.
Cinder from Mifflinburg.
Okay. I ask, am I the only one that gets the alcohol impairment chart with my driver's license? Now, I did look.
They knew you were coming.
Yeah, and I don't drink. I've gotten these before every so often. Now, this one was when 0.10 was. That's the last one I got. But what it does is it's a chart. Down one side, it has the drinks. Across the other side, it has body weight in pounds. And then there's a line that shows you, like, impairment begins. And believe it or not, it begins at, for some people, 0.02, some for 0.04. So it's a really neat little chart. I used to take it, throw it down at the bar, at the bartender and say, there, I'm allowed this. I was only allowed one drink, and I would be drunk. But it's a handy little chart, and I'm sure everybody just threw them away.
I don't ever remember getting that.
I've gotten them a couple different times. I also got them when I lived in Florida. They came down there, too, with your driver's license. But, yeah, and I was a bartender for a long time, and we were responsible if someone left our bar inebriated and was in an accident. Yeah. So we were very careful about kind of watching people's reactions, if they got up to the restroom or whatever. So, yeah.
You have to see if
they fall off the stool, you cut them off.
I actually had one do that. He was fine, and he stood up and ended up on the floor, and it's like, okay, call his wife to come get him.
But how do you know? I mean, that's assuming a lot of responsibility. Someone who's sitting there, and Mark and I were talking earlier about some people don't display the physical symptoms as early as others. So how can you be held accountable for that?
It's very hard. It was very, very hard. It was a small bar, and we kind of knew all our patrons, and we knew what they could drink without. Plus, it was they weren't as stringent now, or then, as they are now about people drinking. People would just come to the bar and weave their way home, or somebody would take them home. We were very careful. I only ever had one person, stand up and fall off the bar stool, and that was the end of him, call his wife and come get him. But it was not a drinking-type bar. People came in, had a couple drinks.
It was a social bar. It wasn't just a boozing bar.
Kind of social. And we knew everybody there.
And there was food.
Yes, there was food. Yes, we were also a restaurant. But it is difficult. There are some people that you can't tell that they have been drinking or have been, because they drink, their tolerance is just astronomical. They can drink and drink and drink and show no. But the when you were talking about the eye with the nystagmus, yes, that does work, because I have a neurologic disorder and I have nystagmus. So I have to carry special papers that say I can't pass the tests at all because of my balance and because of my eyes roll all the time.
So, in case they try to give you that test.
If they were to ever give it to me. Yeah, here in Mifflinburg, the cops, they were funny. It's like, do you want me to take the test one time? We were doing it just for fun. They're like, no, because you'll trash everything because you can't walk straight with a cane, much less.
They got you on that one. Jeez.
Yeah, and years ago, I knew about the nystagmus, and that was one problem that I have to carry medical ID about that. So, but yeah, it is, even with one or two drinks, that's almost the tell all right away. Is when they shine the light at the corner, it goes across your eye, not straight in. They can tell if your eyes are moving or not, and that's probably the first.
But are you physically incapacitated at that point?
Sure, impaired. Of course you are.
Sure.
Whether you realize it or not, you are, yes. I work, as Cindy, she worked in an emergency room. I worked in a hospital for years, too, and that's one thing. You could not believe, you know, the people who came in, and with all the things, oh, man. And Florida is a drinking state, as far as I'm concerned. I lived in Florida for, I don't know, 20 years. And that's a drinking state. If the sun shines,
it's a good day for drinking.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, but you are impaired whether you realize it or not. You just don't know you are.
Gotcha. All right. Thank you so much, Cinder.
Yeah, look for your. We need to get on the liquor control board and have them send out more drink. What I call them drink and drive cards.
Right.
But it's called an alcohol impairment chart. But very.
Knowledge is power.
It's very interesting to look at and see when I have one drink, I'm drunk.
Okay, well, good to know.
I would not pass the test, so it's...
Well, now we have taxis in the area. For a while, there were no cabs around here, but now there are cabs, so that's good.
I guess there aren't in Mifflinburg, I don't think.
Oh, okay, yeah, I don't know that they go out there. Well, maybe there's an Uber out there. The Uber person, I think they're based in Selinsgrove, but they may charge you to drive to Mifflinburg, but at least it would be somebody available.
Well, there should be. Like I said, I don't drink. I can't drink. I'm unable to handle alcohol whatsoever in any way, shape, or form. So,
gotcha.
I never had to worry about it. But I always kept a little chart. I just was digging it out until I called. So,
yeah, thank you. I'm glad you found it.
Thank you for telling us about it.
Okay.
Thanks, Cinder.
Bye.
All right, we got open phones. 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. 1-800-795-9565. That is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll free line. We've been talking about alcohol consumption, its ability to impair you. Utah's got a 0.05 threshold now for alcohol impairment, which for me would be one beer, one 8 or 10 or 12-ounce beer, and that would be it. And then I'd be probably a 0.04, and so that would be the end of it for me.
Might be for me if I smelled the cap.
Why? Because you have no tolerance at all.
Well, you know, it depends on what it is. I mean, like I make a champagne punch for friends from time to time, and I can drink a few of those, but, you know, I wouldn't do it if I were in any way going to be traveling an extended period of time or a great distance. Beer usually gets me worse than anything. You know, wine, I can have a glass of wine.
And
with
beer
dinner.
Is, what, 12% alcohol or something?
I don't know.
No, I don't think it's that high.
It depends on what the type you're drinking. I thought wine had more alcohol by volume than beer.
Oh, it definitely does, yeah.
So,
on average.
Some things affect you differently than others. In other words, if I probably took a straight shot of something, I would be sound asleep in 2 minutes. I had a friend of mine who was
Joe's drunk again.
Friend of mine who was an old family doctor, used to, his prescription for everything was take a shot of Rock and Rye and cover up.
One of our listeners, says, I think that one can refuse to do a field sobriety test with no repercussions. At least that's what a friend told me.
I didn't think they could. I thought if they refused the test, it's a blood test.
No,
if they refuse a blood test,
then you're in trouble. But yeah. I don't know about a field sobriety test. I don't know.
Well, I mean,
that's
you'll
a
get
good
arrested.
Question.
I mean, the police will take you in. You won't walk away.
What if you refuse to do the field sobriety test? I know if you don't get out of your car, they'll wrestle you out of your car.
I don't know. I'll have to ask our chief. He'll tell me.
Okay. Harry, I know you don't drink a ton, but you're around booze a lot. You're on the mark.
You know, it's funny with the alcohol level. Years ago when MAD got started and everything, and, you know, and the laws started to get be toughened up, one of the issues that's happened is, unfortunately, it does not attack the root of the problem, as far as I can tell, because it doesn't get the habitual drinker. What happens is the guy who spends all day in the bar still finds his way to get home. And the guy who has a good day at work or a bad day at work and stops and has two drinks in about 45 minutes, and I don't care about your body size. You have two drinks in 40, 45 minutes, you're going to register as over the limit. they have they stop in to celebrate a promotion or something at work. They have two drinks. They pull out and touch the yellow line. They get pulled over, and now there's a DUI. And it's not necessarily attacking the issue. You know, you can look and you say, oh, well, now we're getting more DUI arrests. But you're not getting the guy who's out there all the time. And I'm not saying that that guy shouldn't be caught if somebody is drunk. Don't misunderstand. But if somebody has two drinks and somebody's been sitting there for 8 hours, which guy would you rather stop? You know what I mean?
But the eight
and
hour.
I'll give you a practical example, too. Years ago, when I attended bar, we had the one place I managed, we had a we rented hotel rooms, too. And I had a gentleman who came in, rented a room from us. He was traveling through the area. He rented a room, and he came downstairs. He had one beer, a burger and fries, asked for a place to, if there was a place nearby that shot where he could shoot pool. And I sent him down the street to this place. He was gone for maybe an hour or so, and he came back, and he said, I'll have another drink before I go call it a night. So he had a beer there. Halfway through the beer, he asked me where the restroom was. I showed him where to go. He stood up off the stool and he fell down. Because he was
two beers.
At that point, though, he had talked no differently than he had before. He had acted no differently. Now you put a lot of responsibility on somebody who'd never seen somebody before who acted no differently. You know, you have to be careful with the law as it's written, because a lot of times you can't tell what's going on just because you read something.
Okay.
Yeah, good point. Very good point.
You have to look for those signs of impairment. But he didn't appear to be impaired, but he couldn't walk.
This gentleman was no different when he talked to you than he had been when I first met him, like two and a half hours before that.
But
you know what
impaired.
I mean?
Right.
But, you know,
point, I had served him one drink. You know, and he had had one drink, and I had served him a second when he had taken like two sips out of that one. I'm just using that as an example.
Well,
you know,
let me ask you this question: say you're running a store that sells alcoholic beverages. You don't consume them on property, but you sell them.
Right.
If somebody comes in there and appears to be inebriated, can you still sell to them? I mean, they aren't going to drink it there.
Nope.
So you have to.
And there are plenty of times where we do not serve somebody. And you know, part of the problem there becomes, too, sometimes people are on a medication that makes them do something and everything, and you don't know. But you always err on the side of caution, and if you have any doubt at all, you don't serve them.
Yeah, well, and I know at some liquor stores they offer you free samples nowadays, so you'd have to be careful not to drink too many of those.
Well, you know, what surprises me, Harry, is I know you're involved in this industry, but, you know, look, grocery stores that now sell beer and wine, and they don't sell hard stuff yet, I don't think. But, you know, you can go in there and buy it, and, you know, what training do those people have with respect, or what obligation do they have that somebody who's more involved in intimately selling the product have?
Lots.
Yeah, I can't answer, because I don't know if they have to go through. I believe they have to go through the same training that, like, bartenders and waitresses do, what's called ramp training. And that's a thing, you know, where you're responsible for checking people's behavior and stuff, but I don't know that as gospel fact. I believe they have to, but I don't know how close they follow it either. You know, I know for us, we are held to a very high standard for that. Do we miss some? Oh, yeah, because the last perfect person got hung on a cross, and I've never been fitted for one, so I'm pretty sure people have slipped through, but by and large, we are very, very conscientious, and there have been times where we probably haven't served somebody that we could have just because we thought they were under the influence, and I'd rather that than serve somebody who shouldn't have been served.
Well, you're closer than you think, okay? We'll leave it at that.
Well, but I appreciate that.
But the standard,
maybe you were tricked beforehand, then. I don't know, Mark.
But the standard for people in the industry is, you know, what? That I don't appear to be visibly... I mean, you don't have any mechanism to give me a test to determine whether or not
I don't have a breathalyzer or anything, no.
No, okay.
You're so looking for speech, eyes... You know, slurred speech or eyes bloodshot, you know, walking funny, you know.
Yeah. Responsible alcohol.
Very rarely does Yeah, very rarely does somebody come in and tell you that,
hey, I'm drunk.
I'm messed up.
I'm already plastered.
Give me some more.
I need some booze. All right, thank you,
Thanks, Harry. Appreciate your call.
Appreciate the call. He's talking about ramp training, responsible alcohol management program adopted in Pennsylvania in 2001, a voluntary certification that provides incentives for licensees who participate and complete five components. Ramp is the umbrella term used to describe the collection of training and resources. Owner management training, server seller training, new employee orientation, signage and affidavit request, certification, and owner management training. Well, that's listed twice. All right. Quick break. Stand by, Paul. We'll be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
On the Mark's toll-free line is sponsored exclusively by the Lewisburg Pharmacy on 2nd Street in Lewisburg, where Brad is involved in the ownership. Jennifer's the head pharmacist at the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop. That's in that wonderful little plaza along Market Street, and they've been there for a long time. Kathy's at the Danville Pharmacy on Mills Street in Danville. She's involved in the ownership. She's an award winner. Steve's at the Norrie Pharmacy. He's won car races. How many of the owners can say that? He's on Duke Street in Northumberland. Tyler's out at the Trutz Pharmacy on Walnut Street in Mifflinburg. He thinks big. He's involved in the ownership of the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, which is operated by Terry out on Route 35 in Mount Pleasant Mills. I tell you this because these are all local people. You know them. You know what they do. You know their hobbies. You know Terry's big deer hunter. I'm telling you these things because they're people too. This isn't sending your money to Bentonville, Arkansas, or Minneapolis, or wherever CVS is located. No, this is an opportunity for you to get super service. They don't make you take a number. They're highly knowledgeable. They just want to make you happy as a customer, and they can
now
do it.
How fast does that dollar get to China?
No, it takes weeks and weeks if you send it to a hometown pharmacy. If you send it to CVS, they send it right over. Right, so please patronize your hometown pharmacies. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy, Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Lewisburg Pharmacy. Sponsors of our toll-free line, which Paul is patiently waiting on. Good morning, sir. We need an unanswerable question to help us wrap up the show.
Okay. I suppose that you remember the show WKRP?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. Funny, funny show.
Do you remember the one where they did the demonstration as to how many drinks it took before you lose your coordination?
Yeah, vaguely. That was Dr. Johnny Fever, wasn't it?
Yeah. The more he drank, the sober he got.
Yeah. And then Gary Sandy, I think he kept getting drunker, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He got drunk after the first drink.
It was actually Venus Flytrap.
Venus Flytrap.
Venus
That's
Flytrap,
what I was trying to
yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, now my question is this. Is it still a law that you are not allowed to sell any alcoholic beverages to Indians?
You know, that's a good question. I doubt that it's the law because there are taverns, I'm sure, on reservations, and they run casinos that sell alcohol. Really, that seems kind of, that's a really almost a racial slur these days, you know, the Indian giving the Indian fire water, they used to call it.
Yeah.
You can watch those old cowboy movies, No Give Indian Fire Water.
Yeah, he gets wild.
Right. You know, but I doubt that that survived. You know, there may be different tribal rules in different, reservations, but I don't think it's a federal law anymore to sell Indians alcohol. Well,
at least
I could be
none
wrong.
Of them have been on the warpath.
You've kept your record. You've asked us an unanswerable question, at least for
well,
us.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work, buddy. You've been listening to On the Mark, WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. Joe and I will be back tomorrow with a normal Wednesday, so please join us. I'll be off on Thursday, but Steve Kushiloff will be here Thursday. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.